All right, Callahan and Joe Torti here as we start hour number three of this week in pro football. 97.5, the Fanatic, the National Football League, the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook here in Ben Salem, PA.
I trust Jimmy McCormick a ton. I'm torn on him saying not to play Melvin Gordon because I'm like, I drafted him and he hasn't played. The idea that I could miss on a good week of Melvin Gordon makes me sick.
And you know what else, too, talking about looking back on the first 2 hours here of this program, was Paul Nolan talking about the Redskins. I had the Redskins down as being one of the worst teams in NFL history. But if you think about it, 0-3, Dallas,
Chicago,
Philly. And Philly. I mean, you know.
Good teams.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, maybe you do. You do have to think to yourself, wait a minute, this team maybe may not be as bad as advertised. Here's a guy who's always as good as advertised, and that is the host of the NFL Matchup Show and, of course, the author of Philly Special. That will be Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Pat. Morning, Joe.
Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Sal, I want to open up with this one because Joe and I were just laughing in the last segment about it. Did you know, Sal, I'm sure you do, since the opening of what was then Rich Stadium in 1973, the opening of it, which is only 46 years ago, only two quarterbacks have won more games as the home starter than Tom Brady. Now, can you believe that statistic? In 46 years, only two Bills quarterbacks have won more games in Buffalo than Tom Brady.
Who would they be? Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly is one. Very good.
Yeah.
You can win a gift card to Chickies and Pete's here if you get this one. Now, the other one is Joe Ferguson.
Wow, I was going to say Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
That would have been my second guess, too.
But, all right, look, let me just start, though, with this, Sal, which obviously was what we were calling a big, big win for Philadelphia Thursday night. I'd like to get your thoughts on how significant a win that was for Philadelphia Thursday night.
Oh, I thought it was very significant. I think it's a psychological booster for the team. I was in the locker room on Tuesday at the NovaCare facility, did a bunch of work for ESPN on TV, talked to a bunch of the players, and I just got the sense there was an anger in the locker room, a sense of shame that what happened to them in Detroit cannot stand. And it's pretty clear to me that Doug Peterson basically said the same thing to them when I asked him on Tuesday, and he talked to the team very emphatically about reclaiming their pride and poise and focus. And when you have to do that, going into a Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers and you're 1-2 after 3 weeks, that's a pretty significant thing. And, you know, they just went back to basics, Pat. They just went back to basics. They stopped the run and they ran the football. And that was enough to beat a Packers team that basically did everything right in the game except when it counted in the fourth quarter at the goal line.
Sal, obviously one of the big storylines that we've been talking about is the rash of injuries that have hit this Eagles secondary and everything else. Obviously the team getting pretty decent news considering the circumstances on Avante Maddox. At that point, now we're wondering, where do the Eagles kind of go from here looking ahead now? It's like, who's going to end up playing cornerback for this team? They're kind of running out of bodies here.
They are, and, you know, it happened last year, too. Remember, they had 13 different starters in their secondary last year. That was the most of any team in the league. They had injuries last year, and they managed to cobble together a season where they went back to the playoffs, even though they lost Carson Wentz. So I think, you know, they did a really good job up front against the Packers. Again, stopping the run and keeping the big, big play away from Aaron Rodgers. So you have to take it 1 week at a time, right? They got 10 days off until they have to play the Jets. The Jets really won't give them much competition. Mm-hmm. They really won't. Well, I don't know whether Sam Darnold's going to be back from mono, but even if he is, in his first game back, I don't expect him to be very effective at the quarterback position. And that'll make them one-dimensional. You, Le'Veon Bell, he's got a lot of catches, but he's only averaging 6 yards a catch. And so, you know, they have become really an anemic offense. And if the Eagles don't turn the ball over, they'll win easily against the Jets. So they got some time to get things a little bit better. I like Orlando Scandrick a lot, a lot. I think he's a heady player. Obviously, doesn't have the physical tools he once did, but he's tough, he's heady, and he's very coachable. I think he's. I was surprised, but I'm glad he's back.
All right, we're talking with Sal Powell, the host of the NFL Matchup Show and the author of Philly Special, presented by the good folks here at First Bank. Sal, you mentioned that the Eagles got back to the basics, and this is something I've been ranting about for a while, which is teams just...
No, not you.
I know, Sal, I know. They overemphasize trotting a half dozen running backs in and out of the game. Look at me, I'm a genius. I thought Doug's game plan Thursday was terrific, but my question to you is... Do you foresee or would you not recommend more of a commitment to Jordan Howard playing more plays and really just pounding the ball inside the tackles?
Yes, and that's what they did. You know, they have a zone running scheme. Jordan Howard is a north-south guy who wants to hit the hole and go. So that's why they sort of thought that Miles Sanders would fit in. But if he's going to fumble the ball, he's never going to fit in. You know, it's not a coincidence that Nelson Aguilar only had... It's not a coincidence that they abandoned Miles Sanders and went to Jordan Howard after what happened in Detroit. You know, they'd rather have Alshon Jeffrey as their number one receiver because he's so much more reliable, notwithstanding what happened in New Orleans in the playoff game. So... if they get DeSean Jackson back and they focus on their veteran players on offense, proven, productive players, I think they're going to be okay. You look at the offensive line, all five starters played 100% of the snaps. That'll help your running game right there.
Yeah, no question. Certainly will. Yep.
Jason Peters did not leave the game. And, you know, they won the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively, and that was the story of the game.
Sal, one of the things that made my antenna perk up was listening after the game when Carson Wentz was talking about the importance of the ground game. And look, I know a lot of quarterbacks like to win, throw for 160 yards and three touchdowns, kind of a weird stat line. But he was talking about how great it is when the ground game is there to support and obviously the special team. And he seemed genuinely excited about the idea that, hey, he doesn't have to do everything by himself. What did you make of his comments talking about the ground game and the offensive line play?
You know, that's Carson. Carson is a very selfless player, despite what people have said about him in the past and what's been written about him. He's a really good player. I've been around this young man since the day he was drafted and watched all the changes that have gone on in his life ever since he got the knee injury, coming back from it, getting married. All the things that he has ever done has always been about team and about giving back to the community. And this is a guy who understands the game of football. That's what really attracted Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman to Carson Wentz from the very beginning. He understands the game of football. And the only way that young man is going to stay healthy and whole is if he gets a lot of help. And that starts with the running game. And you know... sometimes, you know, because I don't know whether it's Doug comes out of the Andy Reid school, but when he's in trouble, he goes back to the passing game, just like Andy.
Right.
And so it was really a teaching moment, I thought, for the entire organization, for sure, 100%.
Yep, and one that I hope that Doug learns and stays with. You're certainly right. I want to look around.
Even you and me, Pat, can have teaching moments. Even you and I.
I've had one recently. I can think of one maybe the last couple of years, Sal. That's okay. Listen, I want to get your take, too, on it happened a couple times again Thursday night, which a pass play happens, a contested pass play, and now either a flag gets thrown for pass interference or a red flag gets thrown saying you should have called pass interference. So now I just want you to look back, Sal. Now, I know it's a short period. We're only 3 weeks and one game into it. But all the crying by the Saints and all the boo-hoo and poor us right up to the ownership has led to this rule now. I want to get your thoughts on it. Is there any chance this rule is going to actually be beneficial for the league this year?
I like it. And you have asked me this before on this program, and I'm going to stay with it. I, I like taking the game and putting it into the coach's hands and the replay official's hands. Why? Because these referees get so much wrong in big-time situations. It's so well documented that they can't handle it. That was the reason why the coaches had a coup d'etat in March in Scottsdale. I was there. I covered it. I watched Al Riveron come out of that meeting with the coaches, seething mad that Sean Payton and John Harbaugh and others said, no, we can't have this. We want to be able to control a very important penalty that's a field flipper. That's a game-changing penalty. It's like a punt. And, you know, the game of football in the end is about field position. And if you can control that from the sideline with the coaches, I think it's a good thing. You're going to have growing pains, Pat. And right now we've got major growing pains. But I think it's a good thing overall. I really do.
Speaking about growing pains, Sal, one of the things that we've been looking at is Sidney Jones and his status as a top draft pick and things like that. He was having a tough time of it in the early going against Davante Adams and then gets banged up, obviously, with a hamstring injury, another one of those lower body injuries. What's the sense about him and his progression so far this season? Obviously, they're hoping they get him back against the Jets, but I know that certainly they had higher hopes for him than what have played out so far.
Yeah, you know, coming off that Achilles injury that he suffered right before being drafted was so problematic. It's also well documented, Joe, that I was against taking him. I was certainly against investing as much as they did in draft picks to get him.
Yes.
We have talked a lot about that on this show. My opinion differs from their opinion about Sidney Jones. This is a put-up-or-shut-up year for him. And I get it. He's been hurt. But I'm on my way down to Baltimore, and it looks like the Ravens are going to be without Jimmy Smith. Again, this is a guy who's always hurt. You know, when you're a corner, you got to have feet and hamstrings and knees. Your legs are your livelihood. You make up ground mostly with your legs. And if you don't have that, it's really tough to come back from it.
All right, Sal, it's a good segue into this subject, too. I'm going to come back to you on that PI thing, but I will try and flow this along here. But Jimmy Smith going down, and so many marquee players last week, Saquon Barkley goes down, Davante Adams gets hurt Thursday night. So many players going down, and yet we're going to add a 17th game here, or at least there's a lot of talk about it. Jerry Jones quoted extensively this week as saying that this is the proposal that the owners are headed for. I want to get your thoughts on, is this in fact where the league is going, a 17th game, probably shortening the preseason, and is it a good thing?
Yes, I think it is a good thing. I do. And I think that they have to eliminate, the game day inactives. I think that's important. And probably add a couple of roster spots.
Right. That, to me, is a key. You're right.
If they eliminate the game day inactives and create five roster spots per team, that's 150 more jobs.
So
that's
what do you
a
mean?
Lot of jobs. That's
what do you,
a lot
what
of
do you
jobs.
Mean? What do you mean by eliminate the game day inactives? You mean how do you eliminate it?
So you got 53 on the roster, and you deactivate seven players.
Right.
So now you have all 53 up and available to you.
Right. Okay.
Like college.
So, and then what, in the case of an injured player or something like that, in that case, that person just doesn't see the field and there's no list that they're on? Is that kind of the solution to that?
They dress. They dress for the game. Plus, if you add five roster spots.
I see your
point. Yeah, now you got 58. Let's say you go all the way to 60.
Right.
If you have 60 guys, then, you don't have to be juggling guys back and forth on. And the practice squad guys could be available to you as well.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think they got to increase the number of roster spots. I think it's a great way for the league to save money. Add a 17th game, make all that extra money, and then you don't add any roster spots. You're going to run out of players, or at least you're going to run out of players that people are interested in seeing by the time Week 18 rolls around.
Right. And so, what's the discussion? The discussion is, listen, the reason why we want the 17th game is because we want to make more money. But if there's more roster spots, you know, how much more money are we going to make?
Right. I know. I just want to circle back. I want to get you guys both your opinion on this about the PI rule, okay? See, Sal, my take is it's too subjective a penalty. It generally, if you're offside, you're offside. If you're holding more or less, you're holding. But on a pass interference, especially the way that games play right now, they just, you know, whether a guy's open or not, you just, the quarterback throws the ball, the guys are pushing back and forth amongst each other, and there's really as much OPI as there is DPI. I think penalty, pass interference is too subjective a penalty to subject it to another 5 minute delay while we figured out whether a guy committed a penalty or not. Am I right?
I don't think you are, Pat. I think it's people know what it looks like. You know, it's like the Supreme Court definition of pornography. You know it when you see it.
Interesting, because the comparison that I made, Sal, and tell me if this is fair or unfair, I equated it to like Major League Baseball managers being able to challenge balls and strikes when saying this ball was outside the strike zone, this ball was in the strike zone. The umpires, some umpires take pride in saying, yeah, you know what, I give a pitcher pitches when he's rolling, or I take him away when he's struggling, or I call it outside, I call it inside, you know, just on a crew-to-crew basis. Is this something that's even possible to be standardized across the league?
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, obviously, you know, different crews call different levels of holding. But, you know, they've got to try to sort of, they just got into a seven-year deal with the NFL referees. And I hope there's going to be more training. You know, they had a big turnover this year. They have a lot of rookie referees, more than they've ever had. So those are two different things.
Right.
I think you have to be able to challenge pass interference because it's such a game changer.
Yeah, I understand. Back and forth we go about that, and we'll do probably all season long. Before we get to what is this week is the top three, Sal, just a quick point from you about the game you're covering. Joe made reference earlier in the show to Baker Mayfield now getting into a Twitter battle with Antonio Brown. I just see such a lack of maturity in Cleveland. Is the all the preseason hype wearing completely off right now by the lake?
You never heard me hype the Browns, and that the reason was simple, Pat. You have a rookie head coach and a new play caller with a second-year quarterback and a lot of new components that you're introducing. So I Odell Beckham Jr. did hardly practice and did not play in the preseason. So I was never on that train. I always looked at the schedule, too. I thought it was extremely difficult. I picked the Ravens to win the division, picked the Ravens to win tomorrow in this game. You look at the Browns' schedule, I think they've got five or six more losses on their schedule, easy, not without even trying.
All right, I agree. I think the Browns, Joey, I mean, I just don't see Mayfield right now as being a leader yet. I think he's just too much of a kid.
Well, there's that, and Sal hit on the other important part, is Freddie Kitchens. That was a surprise that Kitchens ended up with the job to a lot of people who were watching the Browns scenario from afar, dating back to, like, the Hard Knocks time, where, you know, him coming in just because he had this relationship with Baker Mayfield, does that mean that you're, you know, a leader of men and that you're going to be an effective coach year one from Jump Street? I kind of think that question's being answered in a lot of different ways.
All right, listen, let's get to South Pass Top 5, brought to us by Gleason's Bar, Levittown, Bucks County, located at 6700 Mill Creek Road, right up the street from Truman High. Gleason's is under new owner. And our buddy Pat McConney has big plans on the horizon. So stop by Monday through Friday for happy hour specials, a pregame Sunday with a bacon Bloody Mary. Check out all their new televisions at Gleason's Bar, Levittown, Bucks County. All right, we're only going to do three because we're going to run out of time like we always do. And I thought of this top three here based upon how Aaron Rodgers just took the Packers down the field in about 9 seconds right before the end of the first half and ended up tossing a touchdown pass. I want you guys to name me your three quarterbacks in order that you want. I'm talking about active quarterbacks right now. With 2 minutes to go, down by six, who are the three quarterbacks active in the NFL you want in your huddle? All right, Joey T, you go.
All right, I'll lead off. Number three, I like Drew Brees. Before the injury, he was doing it again this year. Guy who's really good in that spot. Patrick Mahomes hasn't been asked to do it a lot, but until Patrick Mahomes shows that there's something that he's incapable of doing, he'll be on every single quarterback list that I make until the end of time. And Tom Brady's track record in those scenarios is too strong for me to ignore. So that's how it goes. 3-2-1. Breeze, Mahomes, Brady.
All right. I'll always let Sal go to the end because it's the biggest drama. But how you don't have Aaron Rodgers on that list, I'll never know. All right, Joey T. Come on. I got Russell Wilson third. I think Russell Wilson is underrated as a money quarterback. I really do. I think he's really a magician. I got Brady two, and I got Rodgers far and away one as a guy. He's the guy I want with the ball with 2 minutes to go. Sal?
You guys are nuts. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Nick Foles as my number one guy. You got to be kidding me. Nick Foles had the ball in his hands and beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl when Tom Brady threw for 610. They had 610 yards of offense in that game, and Foles beat him. Foles, I'm telling you, right, Foles almost brought him back against New Orleans. If the ball's not dropped by Alshon Jeffrey, I want the ball in Nick Foles' hands. Number one.
Right. How about that? Nick Foles. I did not think of Nick Foles. Joey, did you?
The thought crossed my mind, and to be fair, I had an inkling that Sal might have Foles somewhere on the list. Number one was a little bit of a shock, but, I mean, the track record's there for Foles, too. There's no doubt about it. So,
Rodgers. You can't have Rodgers.
Wait a second.
We just had the ball in his hands on the goal line against the Eagles.
And he threw a pick.
They dialed up his number four straight times, and he couldn't get him in. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's a play calling there. I mean, they decided at that point to redo the Seahawks touchdown.
It's a play calling. When you pick the guy, and it's a perfect play call. You know what he should have called? He should have called Philly Special. He would have got in.
Philly's man, maybe. Answer. Maybe a little Packer special there would have been the call to use.
Sure. How about a little creativity?
That's fair enough, Sal, but I still think I'm right, and that's the way. But anyway, Sal, we appreciate you taking the time. Have a good game tomorrow in Baltimore, and certainly we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you, Sal. There you go. Sal Palantonio joining us on This Week in Pro Football. Plenty of action still to come as we take you up until noon. Pat Callahan and Joe Torti. Tyler Zulli is producing. We do have open phone lines right now for you at 610-632-0975. We'll be right back on This Week in Pro Football.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Callahan and Torti back here This Week in Pro Football. 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting live from the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook here in Ben Salem, PA. Do you remember, presented by the good folks at Park Bank, Super Bowl 45. The reason why I brought this up, Joe, is the Green Bay Packers, they're now the legacy of the Packers and one of the most famous franchises in NFL history. From 1992 to the present, okay, which is the era of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are 1-1 in Super Bowls. Is that good enough? 27 years with those two quarterbacks, they won one Super Bowl. Or two. I should
say. Yeah, that's not true.
They won two. Favre won one. So they won two Super Bowls. What do you think?
It's probably not good enough considering when you look at the legacy of how those two quarterbacks are perceived historically, right? Favre has, or for a long time, had every NFL record, and obviously Aaron Rodgers for a long time thought of as the best quarterback of his generation from a skills perspective. But you're right, like that game in particular, A couple things I remember. One is that the temporary seating in the Jerry World situation was a disaster. That didn't work out at all.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And then the other thing was that the Packers had like 20 people on injured reserve or something right. like that, and they still won. It felt like that team might never lose another game, but the Nick Collins injury to the neck, Tre'Mon Williams starts to get banged up, JerMichael Finley's never the same. You know, all kinds of things add up to the Packers just ending up being, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and a bunch of guys. You know, B.J. Raji ends up on a different team. Like, there are a lot of different people that you remember from that team thinking they were going to stay together forever. That's never the case.
Yeah. Yeah, the Packers, I think, in terms of the quality of the quarterback, I think the other franchise, Joe, that comes to mind is the Indianapolis Colts and the fact they were able to piggyback at Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. And with that kind of quarterback pedigree between the Colts and the Packers, to really not have a lot of Super Bowl wins, you know what I mean? The
yeah.
Colts, that whole time with Peyton, the Colts won one Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a bad division that they were in, so they had kind of the pass the
whole
way.
They had a pass just like a certain number 12 does in New England. He's won six of them.
Yeah.
And you're right. So I think the Packers and the Colts, you have to say, it's been a great run to be a fan of those two teams throughout these four quarterbacks. But at the same time, a little unfulfilling.
Definitely unfulfilling when you look at, like, for example, New England stealing everyone's joy in the NFL. You do wonder how things might have gone if the Patriots weren't just so dominant since 2000, you know, how things would look for some of these other teams. But it is the Patriots, you know, spoiling a lot of people's joys every single season.
So. Oh, God almighty. I think America's sick of it.
Yeah.
America is sick of
the Patriots.
The New England Patriots.
Irony.
Just looking here, Joey, about this Baker Mayfield business. We were just talking about the Browns. You know, somebody challenged Mayfield on Instagram or something about a suggestion that he's not anything. He shouldn't be posting too much of his content is like Antonio Brown's. Mayfield writes back, "You're right. Let me call out my teammates and throw a fit about my helmet and then go freeze my feet off." I mean, how about you concentrate on Baltimore in a critical game for the Browns? And like Sal was pointing out, Joe, the Cleveland Browns after this game against Baltimore, they're at San Francisco on a Monday night, which is not an easy game anymore. Then they're home to Seattle at New England. I mean, this is a team that really, that the wheels could come right off that season. And I just don't think there's any type of leadership going on.
Well, and my thought, too, was like in that actual post that he had, did I make up Baker Mayfield just crushing Duke Johnson for not being there? And like you talk about calling out your teammates. Did that not happen with Baker Mayfield? I mean, it's really not good. Now, Pat, I get crushed all the time. People want quarterbacks with personality to succeed. There are lots of people that root for Johnny Manziel when he comes into the league. People that root for Baker Mayfield when he comes into the league. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? We need to zhuzh up the personality at the quarterback position. I'm like, don't you think that there's some kind of connection between these guys being robots and these guys being really, really good at their jobs?
Yeah.
There's a connection.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mitch, good morning. You're on This Week in Pro Football.
Good morning, Pat, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Mitch.
Imagine if Drew Bledsoe didn't get hurt. We'd change history, I think.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Right?
All right.
I agree. That's a good point with the Colts and the Packers. Especially Aaron Rodgers. I just have a feeling you're never going to get another Super Bowl. What a shame. I mean, Dan Marino is still looking. But it's a shame that I don't think Aaron Rodgers is. It's a tough conference. He might not get another Super Bowl. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks, and also with the Brady.
Well, he's running out of time too. I mean, he's getting up there. He's 35
right.
at this point.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's well deserved. He didn't stop playing until he was 25. He had like a 3-year sabbatical behind Brett Favre at the beginning of his career. So he's got that goal for him. And if he doesn't get the Super Bowl, he can always become an actor or something. So he does pretty good commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen. Go ahead, Mitch. You want to say something about Mayfield
and in golf. Do you think they'll have big games? I know that, especially Baker, he's a little narcissistic, right? He's always, some people got to stop thinking that the world revolves around them. And
right.
Baker just kind of reminds you, but I hope he has a good game, going against a good quarterback. Lamar looks better, and he was a late first round pick, I believe, right? Golf should have a big game. And with the running backs. especially with the Rams. They have like 8-4. If Gurley's not doing too well, I think there's something wrong with his knee. You got like, I think there's like 3 good guys behind him. And there's one guy, Justin Davis. Is anybody signing? I think the Eagles should take a flyer on him.
What's his name?
Because I know I like their 2 running backs, but the Eagles, I didn't get another running back. I think that will help them.
Justin chances. Davis?
Is that who you said, Mitch? Justin Davis?
Justin Davis, USC guy. You see why I remember total correlation there, him being a USC fan. He was pretty good. He just never got a chance with the Rams last 2 years.
All right, Mitch, how about taking a shot at one of my trivia questions here? You want to do that?
Right. Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Presented by Norris Sales, the trivia winner receives a $25 gift card to Chickies and Pete's, your favorite local sports bar and crab house. Now, every Monday night starting at 6 p.m., all you can eat Chickies wings and world-famous crab fries for just $19.99. Check out ChickiesandPete's.com for details. I asked Joey Bags this question. He nailed it, so you should get it. Talking about the Green Bay Packers, there are 2 Packer quarterbacks that hold the team's single-game record for passing yards in a game. Who are they?
One's got Brett, right? Was it Vince Ferragano? Did he play with the Packers after the Rams? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Good guess, Mitch. Right,
Good try, Mitch. Nope.
I'm surprised. One of them is very famous for having
the other one,
such.
Yeah, the other one's a little bit more of a what you call a one-hit wonder.
A little bit, yes. Let's go to EJ in Mount Airy next on the Fanatic. What's happening, EJ?
What's poppin', fellas? It's Fly Eagles Fly to the day I die. There's a whole lot of Eagle haters all around the country, mad and angry that had their fingers on the meme button, especially when we went down 10-0. I'm getting posts from butthurt cow turds and dead skins, giving me play-by-play blows, sending me toast, pieces of toast, talk about our secondary. And I said, wait to the end of the game, because all Doug has to do is run the ball. It's not that hard. When you go back to our football Super Bowl season, they was a perfectly balanced football team. And I'm of the opinion that sometimes Doug is just like his buddy Andy Reid. He tries to outsmart everybody instead of just playing to the strengths of the team. When you play to the strengths of the team, the Eagles are very, very, very difficult to beat. How are you going to tell me you're running the RPO, run pass option, when the run option is not there? When you run the ball magically, you don't need DeSean Jackson to be flying down the middle to take the top off the defense, because it takes itself off naturally, because you have to come up to protect against the run. When you use Jason Peters and those guys to blast off on the defensive line, fourth quarter, Carson Wentz ain't got to be dodging and ducking for his life. I'm just saying, fellas, football is simple. And the reason we never won a Super Bowl before was we had coaches who tried to outsmart everybody instead of just playing to the strength. And I give you the perfect example, the goal line stand. All they had to do was run the ball 4 times and they wanted to score. They wanted to get cute with Aaron Rodgers instead of playing straight up football like the Eagles did when we got on the goal line.
Knock somebody off the line. You're right, EJ. You're right, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. And he's right. I mean, I think that with all of the talk about having a $100 million quarterback, right, part of it goes into, well, you feel like you've got to use that guy. The Eagles ran the ball and only threw for 160 yards, whatever it was, with Carson Wentz, 3 touchdowns. The Packers got their money's worth out of Aaron Rodgers and lost the game. I think that's something that's worthwhile to explore. 610-632-0975, Pat Callahan and Joe Torti. Final segment is coming up next. Including the dreaded pick segment.
Not
this
so
week
dreaded.
Pro
not
football.
So dreaded, Jerry. Is it?
For me, it is. We'll be right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Callahan and Torti to wrap up week number 4 this week in Pro Football 97.5 The Fanatic, Parks Casino Sportsbook, a couple injury notes, Joey. Now all of a sudden Matthew Stafford has showed up on the injury report, questionable with a hip problem. That's all the Lions need now with the chefs coming into town. Your boy Patty Mahomes, who I guess can't wait to see him in a dome. He doesn't really play much in a dome, and I just I imagine he's looking forward to it.
It's going to be like a rocket liftoff at Fort Lauderdale or something like that. There's going to be a spectacle. People come from miles around to check that out. That's going to be great. Bad news for Detroit. Kind of have to like the way that their season's gone in the early going. And a hip injury for a quarterback's no joke.
No, that is the truth. The chefs, Damian Williams, is out, the running back. So, and boy, he's just banged up all the time. I think Jim McCormick, I think it was Jim McCormick who made reference to that. He's just hurt way too much.
Truth, he is. It's the LeSean McCoy show.
Yeah. And then the Redskins, Terry McLaurin, who all of a sudden came out of nowhere and is now their top receiver and a big, big waiver pickup, hamstring. He's questionable to play tomorrow. So, a lot of questions there. A lot of questions to consider there for your fantasy lineups. Just what we don't need is any more of those.
But, more questions,
that's
yeah.
That's right. Well, there's no question about this segment, is there? Is there, Joe?
The
Dreaded Pick segment presented by UGI. And I'm going to go first this week because I went 3-0. Okay, Joey?
How does it feel? This is the first time
you've
gone
first know that.
This season.
Okay, you wouldn't know what it's like to go 3-0, would you? All right?
I meant to go first.
But you were 2-1, and so you didn't do bad. So you're 5-4 on the season. I'm 6-3. Zuli, you know, the one name, the one guy, like Madonna, like Beyonce, Zuli pulls off an 0-3 after... I think he went 3-0 the week before.
I was 4-2 before this week.
I know. A little bit of a stumble there, but here we go. Here we go. These are the games I like. I'm going to start off with Minnesota +2 at Chicago. I think Minnesota is the more well-rounded team here. Like I said before, I'm not drinking any Mitchell Trubisky Kool-Aid. I think Kirk Cousins looks good, significantly good compared to Trubisky. I like the. I think the Vikings will do enough on the ground and just wait for Mitchell to do something stupid. And I think Minnesota comes away with a 3-point win here in a low-scoring game. I like Seattle -5 at Arizona. Seahawks are just better than the Cardinals. I think Seattle has to shore up some of this pass defense, though. They are not playing well in terms of pass defense. I think they will get that right. I think they have too much offense for a very poor Arizona defense. I think it's Seattle by a touchdown. And I'm gonna like I did it last week with the Jets, I'm going to do it this time. Miami +15.5 against the L.A. Chargers. It's a 10 a.m. game for the Chargers, Joe. The Dolphins' three losses were to Baltimore, New England, and Dallas. So I think you got to give them some breathing room for that. And I think that the Chargers are a terrible road team anyway. And they always play down to the opposition. So we'll see tomorrow. They'll blow Miami right out of the building. But I think Miami will keep this reasonably close and lose by just 2 touchdowns. All right?
I respect you for taking the biggest game on the board. I've done that before and gotten burned, so I do wish you best of luck there. I'm on board with you for Minnesota. That's one of my picks for the week, Minnesota +2. Dalvin Cook has looked really, really bad in his history against Chicago, but I don't know if he's been as healthy or as effective as he has been this year, so I'm looking at that game. Two other games, I'm just not scared. I've heard that these are going to be tight games. I'm just not scared. New England -7 against Buffalo. New England is definitely better, even on the road, than 7 points against Buffalo. I'm taking that. And Kansas City at Detroit. Even before the Matthew Stafford news, the idea that Detroit could stay within 6.5 points of Kansas City is kind of funny, I think. But we'll see. So those are mine. It's two favorites, New England and Kansas City, and then the dog, Minnesota, getting the points on the road.
So I'm going with 3 1 o'clock games. And before I even do this, I need you guys to do me a favor and correct me. I'm taking the numbers I got from this morning. So if they updated it at the sports book there since then, you can correct me. I'm going 3 1 o'clock games. I think the Oakland Raiders are downright atrocious. That week one win against the Broncos, I think, is more of a testament that the Broncos also stink than that the Raiders are good. I'm taking the Colts -6.5. I think Brissett's found something with the Colts there. I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons over the Tennessee Titans. Also think Mariota and the Titans stink. I think the Falcons have a bounce back day after losing to the Colts. They're a better team than what they showed in the first half of that game against Indianapolis. So I will take the Falcons -3.5. I'll stick with the favorites trend. I'm taking the Houston Texans over the Carolina Panthers. listen, I like that Kyle Allen kid a lot. I think he can play. The Texans are too good, I think, and the Panthers don't really have much of an answer, I think, for Deshaun Watson defensively. So I'm going to go with the Colts minus 6.5, the Falcons minus 3.5, and the Texans minus 4.
Yeah, well, I have to fix all three of your lines, and it may make a difference because they're all against you. I got Indy minus 7, not 6.5. I got Atlanta minus 4, not 3.5. And I got Houston minus 4.5, not 4.
Well, and that's great. I'm glad that you did that to me. Because like I said, I took the numbers from this morning. I'm glad they've been updated. That shows you how good Parks
is
on their numbers.
You're sticking with all three.
I am still sticking with all three of my picks.
There you go. I respect him sticking with too.
Doesn't even bat an eye.
No, he's half points.
Half points. Get away from
with
me.
Your with your half points. Man, that's good stuff.
All right, so that's the prick set. Not that. Yeah, it's that segment, too. The pick segment presented by UGI. We didn't get to do a Eagles prediction because they already played the game. Presented by M&T Bank. So we'll just...
I think they're going to win, Pat.
Yeah, I think we could do one for next week. I think they're going to beat the Jets.
Might I say 34-27 Eagles over the Packers?
Yeah, they might beat the Packers 34-27.
Yeah. But the Eagles, 2-2, Joe, and... I guess, is that where you had them anyway at this point after those four games?
I didn't. I know a lot of people did. I had them at 3-1. I anticipated that this would be the only game that they would lose, so I haven't gotten anything right about this season so far. But the truth is that Atlanta, not a good team. I don't think Detroit's a good team either. So to lose to those two teams is bad. I expected them to drop one against Green Bay. So the fact is they made up a game.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's pretty good.
I had them losing to Atlanta and losing to Green Bay. So
okay.
I had them at 2-2 and then winning the next two before they have to go to Dallas for that Sunday night game. So, and boy, oh boy. We can look ahead here. Sal's not on the phone. I can look ahead. But if everything stays chalk and Dallas continues to win, Joe, the Eagles might be two games back going into that game Sunday night. That would be an enormous game for Philadelphia at that point.
Yeah, and certainly when you look at the Cowboys, I know that people said, oh, you got two games against Dallas and everything else. You've got to keep them within striking distance at this point, right? Because three or four games to make up in a division race, no matter how many games you have left, is never any sure thing. So that's something that we've got to think about as well and keep an eye on. The Jets, I don't know. They're going to win a game at some point, right? They're going to beat
the Eagles. They're not going to beat the Eagles, or they're going to beat the Cowboys. And after New Orleans Sunday night, Dallas hosts Green Bay, and then they're at the Jets. They're certainly not going to lose in New York. The question is, could lose to Green Bay? I
mean, yeah,
they could do that. So it's going to be a very, very close thing now that the Eagles have spotted the Cowboys. But yeah, keep in mind that Dallas in their opening three, the Giants, the Redskins, Miami. So I mean, Dallas really got a turbo boost from a very, very early easy schedule in the first three games.
That's the truth. They did. Now you could look at it two ways, right? Like, are they rolling now so that they're ready to face these good teams? Or are they untested to the point where whenever they do face one of those teams, it's not going to be anything too exciting? Tyler, do you have any idea how to pronounce this Lions backup's name?
Yeah, it's David Blau.
Blau? Like,
yeah, he played
Blau
at Purdue.
With a B? Okay. Oh, he's a Boilermaker.
He also has the lowest quarterback rating in all of Madden 20, in case you're interested.
Oh, very exciting. Okay.
What you're saying is if he has to take over...
Their backup situation's not ideal. It's Blau is the number two, and Jeff Driscoll's the three.
So you're saying the Lions might Blau tomorrow if...
good chance.
When they play Kansas City.
Might Blau out.
That number might go up by six if they
announce
Stafford.
They might get Blau out, just saying. Yeah, that's very possible, I guess. That's very possible. But, look, an interesting slate of games tomorrow, right through that Sunday night game. And Joey T will be back here next week to preview that Titanic matchup between the Eagles and your New York Jets.
I cannot wait for that. Thank you very much to everybody who called and tweeted in. Our guests, Paul Nolan, Gary Cobb, Jim McCormick, and Sal Palantonio. Thank you to Tyler Zuli for your outstanding work here on location. Our promo team, Cameron and James, thank you very much for what you guys did. Michael Anfloto, outstanding job as per the usual standard. For Pat Callahan, this is Joe Torti saying so long and enjoy this week in pro football.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.